The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. It's hour number two on day number two of the conventional work week. Tuesday, October 19th. Great to have you here. Thanks for hanging out. 866-660-5759. So if you're just hopping on the show, here's what we've done already. Okay, we've taken a look at the South Lake in the Carroll ISD. And Andrew Yeager, candidate for that school board, will join us 8:35. Everybody tell him we got to lift him up and make sure he makes that board to the exclusion of a more liberally backed opponent. South Lake is a... it is an arena right now. There's a whole rodeo going on there with regard to the politicization of our kids' education. And South Lake is daring to fight back, and so they have been vilified and condemned. It was not helpful when an administrator was talking about the need for balance in various texts and used the Holocaust as an example. There is no academically necessary contravening view on the Holocaust. Oh, Lord. So, and it's funny because everybody at the school board meeting last night was, and there's a Jewish mom saying, okay, I was pretty shocked at first, but you know, not in context, but after, you know, thinking a second time and ruminating and giving people benefit of the doubt, I think she probably was misunderstood, probably liked that one back. I'd think so too. How about somebody ask her? How about if she tells somebody? And I know they're probably, I don't know if they're lawyered up at the Carroll ISD. I have no idea. And I don't necessarily need Mr. Yeager to go hip deep into that because that's probably a personnel matter at this point. But the overall thing of the Carroll ISD in Southlake is nationally famous. NBC savaging them with a demonizing podcast called, simply enough, Southlake. It's designed to impart I've used the Salem's Lot comparison, but nope, no vampires, just a battle over the racialization and the political hijacking of our kids' education. On education, let's pivot to the just completed special session. Special session number three is in the books. So many good things have happened. So look back at this 2021 legislative session. We got constitutional carry, a Second Amendment dream come true. We got the heartbeat law. We got these things. We got beefed up election security. So many things that are major conservative accomplishments. Now, on the matter of gender, the governor is going to sign, Governor Greg Abbott will sign, the bill that keeps a boy out of your daughter's track meet. And that's good. That's really important. There are girls whose records in track or whose fate in wrestling or God knows what else are just being savaged by the presence of biological boys. And there are 12 talk shows that emanate off of the fact that there might at some point be a boy who thinks he's a girl competing against your daughter who actually is a girl. The athletic component of this is not the most important one. It's important to the athlete. I want to protect girls' athletics and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is important. But the most important thing is the child abuse that is taking place willfully among parents and schools and doctors, actual doctors, carving up children around this country. And this needs to be made illegal in our state. And the governor won't do it. And I need to ask him about this, but his handlers won't let him on the show. And that is sad because I love the guy. I continue to believe he's going to win and probably win pretty easily. Unless, and I always say, I'll let you know when that changes. And the people who have been backing either Don Huffines or Alan West, both of whom were friends of mine, all these people are friends of mine. I love everybody in this little political drama. But as I've told you, the Mark Davis rule of primaries is, it doesn't matter how awesome Alan West is, and he is awesome. It doesn't matter what a smart and well-focused campaign Don Huffines has run, and he has. But that's not what matters first and foremost. What matters first and foremost is, can these guys create a desire on the part of a bunch of Texas Republican voters who gladly voted for Abbott for years to suddenly want to fire him? And after a session that had a lot of really, really good conservative things happen, that's a hard ask. That's a hard ask. So here I am saying that every day, and Abbott's handlers won't let him on the show. Because I will take him back, as I will now take you back, a month and a fraction, when I said, Governor, great deal, great idea, nice letter from the Commissioner of Family and Protective Services saying that the gender surgeries are child abuse. They are. That's great. That's a good start. Now what we need is a bill to become law that you will sign that makes puberty blockers illegal, that makes chemical castration illegal, that makes counseling illegal, that tells a little boy he can be a little girl or vice versa, or a not-so-little boy or a not-so-little girl, a minor, an adolescent, someone going through puberty, for God's sake. That needs to be made illegal as well. From Matt Krause to Jeff Leach to Phil King to every Republican member of the House that we've had on the show, every single one of them down the line says that bill will pass. Governor won't allow it, won't put it on the special session. Here's another special session come and gone. Nothing. Crickets. I want you to hear a story last night on Channel 8 from William Joy. And it will start with a child speaking. Channel 8 will refer to the child as he, but you can tell just looking at this child's face, this is a girl. The short hair, the hoodie, speaks to what might be a somewhat more delicate featured effeminate boy, but this is no boy. This is a girl. And the parents, apparently by definition, have been on board with turning their daughter into a son. God help us. So let's listen.
I loved playing sports. I think it was fun. I loved the experience.
When he was in middle school at Austin ISD, Barrett did track and field for the same reason we all start. It made him happy.
I got to regionals and it was really fun.
Texas lawmakers repeatedly tried to pass laws restricting how transgender athletes like Barrett can participate in school sports.
HB 25 is passed.
Now a new bill that requires students to compete on teams aligned with their gender at birth is headed to Governor Abbott's desk.
We want girls to be able to compete fairly.
One of the bill's authors, Republican Representative Valerie Swanson of Harris County, said the bill is about equal competition.
To say otherwise is to reject basic biology and common sense.
Transgender people have been participating in sports.
This is Ricardo Martinez, the CEO of something called Equality Texas, which, what a lovely sounding thing. However, and by the way, in terms of equal rights, equal regard, equal value as human beings, of course, but boys and girls are not the same thing. They're not the same human creature. And it is a denial of science. It is a denial of God. It's a denial of creation. It's a denial of the human condition. And here's Mr. Martinez saying, "No, they've been there forever."
K through 12 sports for a long time, and it's never been an issue.
Well, yes, it has. Maybe nobody's had the stones to step up and make it an issue. But guess what? We're making it an issue now. Better late than never, I guess.
Ricardo Martinez leads Equality Texas and says the bill is one of 50 this year targeting Texas's trans population.
Targeting. It is not targeting anybody. It's not restricting anybody. It is preserving the integrity of girls' and women's sports by, heaven forbid, limiting participation to actual girls and women. Oh, the humanity.
They are marginalizing an already marginalized population.
Transgender students and advocates are concerned about an increase in bullying from the bill.
For some reason, they never gave us the data on it.
This year, the Trevor Project, an LGBTQ suicide hotline, has received nearly 4,000 calls from Texas transgender youth.
Now, let's spend a moment on that. By definition, if you have a boy who thinks he's a girl or a girl who thinks he's a boy, this is a mightily mentally challenged child. This is someone with serious mental illness issues. And to walk that path of gender dysphoria is incredibly difficult. I can only imagine. And I have prayerful empathy and I wish for gender normalcy for all of these children. The point at which we say, I mean, just the raw emotional blackmail of saying, well, some of these kids are going to kill themselves if you don't let them go ahead and be a girl when the kid is in fact a boy, or vice versa. That is, there is a sickness to that that transcends language.
It's awful to know that there are so many people that are struggling because of this. And that somebody's just like, hey, let me put up a law to make this worse.
To this child and every other child walking through this path, if there's ever any bullying, if there's ever any mistreatment, of course, everyone stands against that. But the notion that in order to be good people, in order to accommodate this mental illness, and it's exactly what it is, that we must go along with it, even celebrate it, is a perversity for the ages. If there is a child or an adult who is skinny as a rail and who looks in the mirror and says, I'm fat, has the whole anorexia thing going or who knows what, we gather in immediate strong efforts to help such a person to realize, no, to give them clarity. You are not fat. We want you to see yourself as you actually are so that you don't hurt yourself anymore. And yet, for something as central to the human condition as what sex you are, we don't do that anymore. A skinny person says, I'm fat. We rush in and say, man, we got to make it where this person doesn't, you know, no longer sees fiction, but sees fat. Because what a ruinous path it can be to head down that hole. Anorexia, eating disorder, perceptive disorder, mental illness trail. We got to make that better. We got to try to make people better, try to cure that, help that, treat that. And yet a 12-year-old boy says he's a girl. Great, done, let's go. Let's go, clothes shopping. 12-year-old girl says she's a boy. 14-year-old boy says he's a girl. Let's put them on the girls' track team. Fantastic. Wait, the girls have a problem with that. Sit down. Shut up. You're haters and bigots. How screwed up is this?
The bill's authors say their focus was on fair competition. Barrett believes it should have been on empathy.
Everybody should have the chance to be happy about who they are and what they're doing.
This is the danger of the language of the left. We need to make everyone happy. Really? Are the girls happy who all of a sudden have a dude running in the next lane in the 400-meter hurdles? Are they happy? Happiness is very subjective. Something that might make one side happy is not going to make the other side happy, and vice versa. So what we do, rather than dance in the happy cloud, is do things that speak to facts and science and order and accuracy of the human condition. Gender is a fact, as Dave Chappelle himself said in his recent special. And if there are folks who don't have a handle on that, that is a dysfunction. And we need to prayerfully, empathetically, kindly address that dysfunction. But when we fail to even recognize that it is a dysfunction, whew, then we have so lost our way. We're in Dallas. Karen, welcome. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. Jack. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to say, I just don't understand why they are so emphatic about forcing this, you know, on the majority population. Why is it always this small group of people that just want to make all of these huge changes to everybody else's life?
I know. No, it's normalization, everything, because whatever whim of the moment, whatever plight somebody's going through, rather than take this tortured young person and say, you're not a boy, you're a girl, or vice versa, rather than do that, they'd rather make the world conform to that dysfunction.
Well, I mean, look at these TV shows where they're forcing this on their kids. You know, these parents are allowing their children to watch these shows, and then they question themselves, like, oh, am I supposed to be something else? You know, these people on TV are. I think, you know, parents really need to focus on what they're allowing their children to watch. And, you know, obviously it starts at home. Who are these parents that are also forcing their children to be something that they're not?
See, that's the thing, because we can sit here, you know, here you are calling a talk show. Here I am doing a talk show in households in our own community, in this young person's household. Are parents who are willing to go with the notion of a child who does not even, in fact, know what sex she is, and doctors who are willing to jam puberty blockers into kids and perform chemical castrations and engage in counseling that says, you know, hey, young man, we can actually be a young lady, or vice versa. This is a road to ruin. Karen, thank you. And I don't just mean societal ruin. I mean the kind of ruin of life. Because maybe the most poisonous lie in all of this is that happiness lies ahead. If you have a 12-year-old boy who says, I want to be a girl, and you just go with that, that is what's necessary for this boy's happiness, when so many times the exact opposite happens. There can be a terrible psychological price paid down the line by people who go with this, because eventually the truth can take hold of you. Eventually the daily grind, even the denial of living a life that is antithetical to your biological truth, is something that can take a toll. And maybe some of these suicides are these people who have given in to this dangerous, toxic whim of the moment. 826. All right. So there is a seat open on the Carroll Independent School District, the hotly talked about South Lake neighborhood. Andrew Yeager is one of the folks running for it, and he will join us next. We'll take a look inside that whole South Lake school drama and see what he would bring to the table if he were to prevail. Early voting already underway there through October 29th, actual election day, November 2nd. So we'll take a peek into that next, as soon as we head into the newsroom. It's 8:32. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. All right. It is 8:39. On this Tuesday program, 19th of October, 2021, early voting underway. November 2nd election in the Carroll Independent School District. Now, we're a big station covering a big area. We don't often dive into individual school board races. But, you know, if a particular school district has become nationally famous for some things, and if there's enormous attention paid to that, not just locally but nationally, it seems like something we can do. You know the Carroll. First of all, I know the Carroll ISD from my Metroplex addresses in my almost 30 years of being back in my native Texas have been Bedford, Keller, Flower Mound. So I mean, in South Lake has so much of my money. I mean, they have so much of my money from town center to various restaurants up and down the 1709. Corridor. I have loved it. I know tons of people in South Lake. I've done events there. It is just, it's a community so very, very close to my heart. Having that community maligned as some kind of skinhead enclave because they have dared to fight back against some of the radicalization, the racialization of everything, And that is why national media attention has savaged them. There have been things that have been mischaracterized about what they're trying to do. And so amid a national debate on all kinds of curriculum issues like critical race theory and all kinds of other things, mask mandates and thus and such, even an individual school board race can take on a lot of attention. Andrew Yeager is running for that vacant seat, and he joins us. Mr. Yeager, welcome. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Mark. Doing great. Thank you.
Very nice to have you. Okay, so the question I ask for everybody running for everything, what made you want to run?
Well, my wife and I, 26 years or 25 years, got to get that right. We moved to Carroll 8.5 years ago for excellent schools. We were up in Illinois for years, before that in New York City. Both of us originally from the Midwest, and my grandparents had lived down in Texas, so it was kind of a neat goal to get down here. And when we were looking for the best school district, the most excellent school district in DFW, the choice became very clear, and that was Carroll. It really stood out to us. And as I like to tell people, I'm on the campaign trail. I'm meeting people who've moved here from, like we did, from Illinois years ago or from California and other places, and they had the same reason why they moved to Southlake, is for this great school district. And I like to say, no one told me I moved to Southlake to find the most equitable school district, right? They moved for the most excellent school district. And this is really an opportunity for one, to me, to give back to the community. I've always served leadership roles, whether it was being my daughter's soccer coach or leadership roles at our church. And this is an opportunity. I didn't realize that I might have to sort of defend the Alamo, if you would, of school districts, but I'm proud to do it. I'm honored that to be the conservative candidate in this race, because it's very important, as you said. I think not just here in Texas, but everybody around the country are looking at us to say, you know, it's okay to have parent involvement and to stand up for what we believe in is right. And my whole goal is to say, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable, and really have a dialogue and bring the temperature down. And I like to say, hashtag make school board meetings boring again.
wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful day? Probably yeah. Not likely in the short term. So maybe we can get to that. And maybe it involves sifting through sort of where we are. And let me see if your take on this is the same as mine. Very unfortunately, sure. A few years ago, one of these stupid viral videos of some chowderhead kids, you know, dropping some N-bombs. I mean, it's just horribly racist comments. And that's terrible. And that's, if that's ever found, it should be surgically, precisely punished to go after the genuinely guilty people. But from that moment on, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my Lord, we have to have diversity training for everybody. Racism is rampant. The entire neighborhood must be ideologically cleansed because of this one. I mean, do you see this, the catalyst for this, the same way I do, or do I have it wrong?
I think you have it right on. And what we saw, my wife and I, years before we were down here in Illinois, was the whole Rahm Emanuel, right? And that is never let a crisis go. And this is exactly what I think happened, because it's not a logical step, Mark, for parents in any school to have an incident like that and then to go right to, these were the quotes, the curriculum needs to change. That doesn't make sense. That's not the logical next step. The next step would be, we need to make sure our code of conduct is enforced and to prevent those types of incidents from happening again. So to me, there is something bigger going on. And again, we've seen this with crises across the country, not just here in Carroll, is that it was almost somebody taking advantage of trying to put an agenda forward. That really, as we saw with the last election in May, 70% of the people voted for the more conservative candidates on the school board, Cam Bryant and Hannah Smith. And we're hoping that happens again here, where our community rejects this notion of embracing critical race theory to really, you know, correct issues that need correcting, for sure. We're not perfect, but that's just a huge overreach, in my opinion.
There are a lot of people who say critical race theory is like a fictitious boogeyman, that we're making it up. It's not really happening. So to what degree are the vestiges of CRT, the notion of a kind of an education through the lens of racial grievance? What is the exact status quo? What's going on, to your understanding, right now?
Right. So this is a big difference with my opponent and myself and where we see the vision for Carroll. I believe that in great school districts, not just here, but across the country, there's a special sauce that you need to protect. And oftentimes it's a school like ours, which says, we want to promote and have a culture of excellence, whether it's on the playing field or it's in the classroom. And there is this opponent and her supporters who believe that equity is really what is more important. And the two can't live in the same world, Mark, right? Because you can't have students that are working hard to get into some of our great academies. Here's a great example, the Carroll Medical Academy, which is a curriculum geared for students in high school who are thinking about, you know, aspiring going on to medicine in college. And in a list of demands, it's called the Southlake Anti-Racism Coalition Demand Letter, 17 pages of specific demands that my opponent signed. Now she's trying to say she signed it for a different reason, for whatever, but backpedaling. But one of those demands is really clear, and that is to say, in this Carroll Medical Academy, the curriculum, forego a current advanced biology course for a course which might talk about the disparities in healthcare. So I talk to parents all the time who aspire to get their children into this great academy, right? And I say, how does a disparity in healthcare course for a high schooler help them get ready for the next step for college, for career in medicine? And they look at me and they go, it doesn't. I said, exactly. And that's really what it's about. So if you think about CRT, it's real. You know, it's in this demand letter. And it's been my opponent has been in public comments supporting this. And that's really what we're fighting against.
Andrew Yeager is here, running for the Carroll ISD School Board in Southlake. So if you were on the board already, you'd have been in the room last night sitting there as people come after this administrator. And bless her heart, I don't know what she was thinking in the notion of describing in this surreptitiously recorded tape. But, hey, it seems to be accurate. Nobody's doubting its veracity. Is teaching history with balance wise? Of course it is. If there's some controversy, should you present all sides? Of course you should. Her extremely unfortunate example in the quote caught on tape was the Holocaust, featuring this now viral quote where she says, if you got a book about the Holocaust, you got to find the other side. So everybody at the school board just contorting themselves last night, saying there's no other side to the Holocaust. You know, the only thing missing is her, and you're not her, and I'm not asking you to speak for her. But what's your take on that whole on this whole flare up of news?
It's very unfortunate. From what I know, she has been with the school district a long time, a beloved, very well regarded. And Mark, I think the bigger picture here is the politics of destruction. And, you know, my faith teaches me to give each other grace. And we are fallible and we're going to make mistakes in our lives. And I just wish, and you had interviews, I think, of some people who came to that kind of moment of giving this administrator the grace that I think she deserves. I think our superintendent, Dr. Ledbetter, had an excellent letter where he said, look, you know, in this particular issue, this is a genocide. There are no two sides. And yeah, there could be some confusion about the SB3 was formerly the House bill in Texas legislature of 3979 that really wanted to say, we don't want to have this divisive curriculum in schools. I think it was good. There might have been some areas where it needs to be tweaked and will continue to be tweaked. And she just got caught in it. And like you said, that's not the right example at all. And that's very regrettable. But gosh almighty, can we give each other some grace and forgiveness? And I think that's one of the things that I would bring to the school board is not blowing up at each other, but just listening and trying to give each other room to make some errors and to correct ourselves.
Last thing, mask mandates. The governor says a school district cannot have a mask mandate. What's the status quo in Carroll right now, and what do you think the path forward ought to be?
Yeah, I think, again, our school district got it right to start the year, which was to follow the governor. At the same time, I loved what the school district did, and that said, we will accommodate any child who would like to have extra safety precautions. They will literally go in, Mark. First of all, masks are optional, which is the right, in my eyes, the right policy. Mm-hmm. If a elementary student wanted to have plexiglass around their desk,
oh my.
Carroll ISD, Carroll ISD would come in to accommodate that request. I think that shows a wonderful, as I said, accommodation to that student and to that student's parents to make them feel safe. I'm an educator on top of my full-time corporate job. I teach college after receiving a master's degree. I had to take my class from in-person to virtual during COVID and then back into person. So I've seen the difference. And we've got learning loss when kids have to go virtual versus being in-person. So I like to say in-person, make it safe, make it optional. And I think we've achieved that.
Andrew Yeager is running for the Carroll ISD. It is the Southlake ISD with little smidgens of Grapevine and attached to it as well. But it's the Carroll ISD, and it is early voting is going on now, and the election itself is November 2nd. The website is Andrew Yeager, Y-E-A-G-E-R, just like Chuck. Andrew Yeager for the numeral 4, CISD.com. Andrew Yeager for CISD.com. Andrew, thank you. I appreciate it very, very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking.
Thank you, Mark. You bet.
God bless. Andrew Yeager, 852. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. Well, all right. We've covered a lot today. Can we shoehorn one more thing? I think we can. Because amid all these local controversies, statewide controversies, national controversies, how about a little something global? I could usher in a dozen topics by simply asking, what is the deal with China? Obviously, from the virus they so gleefully gave us to the air and space related nuclear testing they may be doing, and you know, what are the Chinese doing in space, and what are they doing here on Earth, and how worried should we be? One of the great China authors, thinkers, experts is the wonderful Gordon Chang, and he is coming to town for a luncheon on Friday that our friends at IPI, the Institute for Policy Innovation, that they are sponsoring, IPI.org, for tickets to that. It's going to be great Friday at noontime. We'll have details on that. But Gordon Chang is going to join us for a preview of that and a little overview of the list of China stuff to be worried about and what ought we to be doing about it. We'll do that next and then pivot right back to everything else we've been talking about today. It has been a multi-topic Tuesday. I've loved it. Glad you are here. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.